of understanding or correspondence with their Afghan counterparts. These units, just to go back to a little bit about how they operate and how little oversight there is, they're paid in US dollars in cash. So they're not even the Afghan government isn't even aware of who is making up the numbers in their units. Whereas with their conventional forces, all the units are paid through an electronic system, which is backed up by biometric data, which none of the members of these units have to undertake. You mentioned the risk to journalists here. It's been something that has come about particularly in recent months. In Kabul and other provincial capitals,
you've
seen a big increase in targeted attacks, many of which are targeting journalists and human rights activists.
Well, Andrew Quilty, we want you to stay safe. Thank you so much. Australian photojournalist based in Afghanistan. We'll link to your Intercept expose at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Wear a mask. Stay safe.
Have you gotten your flu shot? It's never too late to protect yourself, your family, and your community against the flu. This year, it is more important than ever. Black and African Americans, people of color, pregnant people, people without health insurance or a regular health care provider, people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, and people 65 and older are encouraged to get a flu shot. Multnomah County Health Department and Portland Community College are hosting a free weekly drive-through flu vaccine and COVID-19 testing clinic that will be held every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. until March 31st, 2021, at PCC's Cascade Campus, Parking Lot 1, located at 701 North Jessup Street in Portland. Entrance is on North Albina Street. You can drive through, bike through, or walk up to. To reserve an appointment for a flu shot or COVID test, call 503-988-8939. That's 503-988-8939. This campaign is a project of the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health and the Communicable Disease Services programs. It is made possible with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Public Service Announcements.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01. It's Friday. Mind that gap, because we're going to flip the script and fill it. Because girls are powerful. Stay tuned.
Hello, hello, how's it going? You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap, where we're minding, we are filling, we are bridging, we are flipping the script and scripting the flip. My name is Tammy. On the line with me is Althea. How's it going, Althea?
Heyo, I love that we've now included another vague descriptor of what our goals are here, flipping the script. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to confuse myself with it. And I'm excited. It's good to be here. It's good to be talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely to hear you again. And in station, per usual, the pragmatic and the trusted Sonia. How are you, Sonia?
That script is flipped.
Sonia's busy flipping that script right now. So this is The Gap, and it is Friday. I love that you mentioned that the date, because it is Friday. We made it through one more week of life, awesomeness, whatever it entails, whatever it doesn't entail. And I hope that everyone had a lovely Hanukkah holiday, the festival of lights, and and I'm just looking forward to talking with everyone here today about some important stuff. But before we get to the curriculum, for lack of a better word,
there's got to be a better word. Continue.
I wanted to see how you're doing, Althea. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. I feel like I woke up with a different energy than I've had in a while. And it's like, it's a good energy, but I'm like disoriented by my own emotional status this early in the morning. I'm like, oh, I'm awake and I'm alive. And it feels like maybe I slept well, even though I stayed up kind of late, you know? These are all the things that are sort of percolating in my brain right now.
Well, there was an eclipse this week, so maybe it's the remnants of that.
Yeah, it could be. I will say I've been watching a lot of videos about astrology on TikTok, so safe to say I've cracked the code. Safe to say I know what's coming.
Oh, gosh. I will not tell you what time I was born.
I'm not super good at it myself. But, I mean, I think it's interesting either way. You know, going into different times. Science points to the pandemic being done in the summertime, according to astrology, if that's something you believe in. I don't know.
I like how you said,
but it's interesting.
According to astrology, science says that blah, blah, blah.
I don't think I said science, but I did imply it, so that's fine.
It slipped out of there. It slipped out.
Uh-oh.
Science. Talk about lack of a better word, right?
Yeah. All right, let's try to nail down this vocabulary. Let's not get lost in the weeds. Let's not flip the script too hard that words don't mean anything anymore, because that will ultimately be a hindrance to us.
Before style. Yes, well, reconstructing reality. That is part of flipping the script. That's, I think, in the definition. So, but yeah, not a problem.
What about you, Tammy? How are you doing?
I was going to see if Sonia had any exciting
news for
things happening.
Not really, like, since last week. But there's kind of more in a long term sort of thing, medium term sort of thing, but I think we're going to get to that later.
Okay, there we go. I like that. You're just, it's a red herring, or is that a smoking gun? Which, that's some sort of.
Neither.
The funny part, I studied American literature, so that's
foreshadowing.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah, like a thought wearing another thought's hat, as they say.
It's the Maltese Falcon. If you think about it, if you look at it, kind of squint, it's a Maltese Falcon. So.
You look at it, but also look away at the same time.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, Althea, nothing new on my neck of the woods. Although I do live pretty close to the Red House in Mississippi, so it's been interesting to see, kind of the community coming together and all of that type of stuff. I know Cable has been covering it extensively, so I'm not going to get into it too much. But people are still here, you know, community's showing up strong, and it's been very touching to see. Other than that, I told you I've just lathered my dog in coconut oil last night, which was not a good idea. I'll deal with those consequences later.
Yeah, at least I remember the paw massage. That it was for a good reason.
What's that?
I remember the paw massage, but was it your intent
to lather?
It started
as a paw massage.
Oh, dear.
It's, you know, because he has the paws up and her belly showing. I'm like, oh, that's so cute, and I already have the coat. It was non-intentional. It started off with a good idea. It ended up just me going overboard. But I learned, so it's all good.
See, Althea, this is dog people. This is what they're like. This is.
I know. I never thought I'd be that dog person. It's sad where I don't recognize myself anymore. But speaking of education, good segue. We are going to be talking about the Wall Street Journal op-ed that was written by Joseph Epstein. I was trying to look for an adjective to describe the op-ed, but we're going to get to it, which was urging Dr. Jill Biden to drop the doctor from her name, because I guess that's just what we're doing now to people, right? Between the backlash and, some people defending Joseph Epstein and his position, and other people completely, Twitter is going crazy right now, as well as Northwestern University, which is the school where Joseph Epstein taught in 2002, I think. They also removed them from their list of professors and completely were like, no, we don't back this op-ed and we're not into it. So there's a lot to unpack. The word of the day that comes to mind is sexism, but it's just something that I wanted to bring to the table and get your two cents on it. And we do have a couple of audio clip discussing it from also another Dr. Greer, who is a professor of political science in Fordham. But we'll get to that in a moment. But before we get into it, I'd like to get your two cents, Althea. I don't know if I described the op-ed completely, but unfortunately there is a paywall, and one save the Wall Street Journal isn't getting to me.
It's the first paragraph.
Kiddo.
Yeah, there's a paywall, I'll tell you that. But the kiddo is in the first paragraph is really what I think a lot of people took issue with. I mean, there's the general, he's making a request, like, hey, the future first lady, can you not call yourself doctor anymore? It's like, okay, well, let me think about that. Let me see if that's something that I can take on. Why is it that you would like for me to do that? And the crux of the argument is that she's not a medical doctor, which is true, but she does have her doctorate in education. I have the first paragraph up if you want me to read it, Tammy, but if it's This is from the Wall Street Journal. This is by Joseph Epstein. This is an opinion piece entitled, Is There a Doctor in the White House? Not if you need an MD. Madam First Lady, Mrs. Biden, Jill, kiddo, a bit of advice on what may seem like a small, but I think not unimportant matter. Any chance you might drop that doctor before your name? Dr. Jill Biden sounds and feels fraudulent, not to say a touch comic. Your degree is, I believe, an EDD, a Doctor of Education, earned at the University of Delaware through a dissertation with the unpromising title, Student Retention at the Community College Level, Meeting Students' Needs. A wise man once said that no one should call himself doctor unless he has delivered a child. Think about it, Dr. Jill, and forthwith drop the doc.
She has delivered a child. At least two, hasn't she?
Why didn't she get credit for that?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Same logic. Every mother is a doctor.
Well, yeah, but what about, midwives and, a bunch of other cultures that deliver babies, not in hospitals, A little silly. If that's the raft for who's a doctor, then let me tell you what, I know a lot of hippies that are doctors, if that's the case. Get out of here. I didn't read the dissertation, but why, what's unpromising about wanting to, about doing a dissertation about college, community college students and retention and retaining them? That's pretty great.
That diss doesn't land, not only does the diss not land with me, I'm not really sure what he's referring to there. It's like, was it supposed to be a more fun title? Did you need to have a pun in there? A lot of academic papers love to include a pun. And I don't see that she did that, but hey, it's straight to the point. Cut to the chase.
I'd love to see. Yeah. I wonder what Joseph Epstein titled his dissertation. Ayo!
He doesn't have one, which we should also be clear about. He taught at Northwestern without a doctorate. He has a BA in absentia, and I think he might have an honorary doctorate. But again, that is not the same thing.
And even so, I don't want to... Oh, go ahead.
No, please.
I don't want to get like, oh, high and mighty about education, because education in itself is a system that is partially, if not a lot of time, based on, you know, the mindset of white supremacy. It mm-hmm. is, you know, there's a huge disproportionate amount of like the demographics of people in various universities. Although, and I'll double check the stats because I don't want to just say stuff out there. I'll double check it. As of, was it 2018? Black women had the highest rates of graduating from universities. So things are changing definitely on the education, on the academic level. But I personally, I met many of people with degrees that are just stupid. So I don't think that that is the proper measurement of educating, of intelligence. But mm-hmm. there is something to be said about a person who has like a hyper, focused route towards something that, you know, like specific, like, you know, just working in something for a long time, you know, you are exposed to it and you learn more. And after a while, hopefully you become super good at it, a master, as some would say, or a doctor, as others would say. So
right.
You know, and it's interesting to hear all of this type of people from different camps of thoughts that would otherwise call academics elitist now kind of talk down to someone who is a college, community college teacher, professor. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, so they teach community college and it's like, that's not good enough. But if they were a teacher at Harvard, you'd say they're elitist, or Emory or something, you would call them elitist. So like, it's a lose-lose situation, right? On top of it, just the taste of sexism, you could taste it with every one of his words, you know, like he
mm-hmm.
First off, why are you calling her kiddo? She's not your friend, she's not your wife, what are you doing? You don't know her like that, you know?
Yeah, it's like immediately degrading.
You don't know her like that. And how is that, like, what was that op-ed for? He's open to have opinions, and I don't think that people need to be walking around, you know, telling the editor to, it's an opinion piece, you know, it's not like they're reporting it as fact, it's an op-ed. But what are you serving in this op-ed?
Yes.
Like, and that's what a Paul G, one word away from bigot, that's interesting, Paul Giggit,
I said Geigo, but I'm not sure.
Oh man.
Well, he's the editor, by the way.
You know, if we wouldn't have this problem if Dr. Jill Biden were here, she'd be able to help us out. But yeah, it's infuriating. It's like, what's the point of this? You're just trying to make us more pissed at each other? I don't get it.
Yeah, the idea of like, why, who is this for?
Mm-hmm.
And also, okay, because we have to, you know, address it head on. There, it falls within a pattern of obviously sexism, right? Like that women are not face disadvantages in, you know, being given their honorifics and stuff like that, which she earned. And if you have a problem with her being a doctor, really, you ought to take it up with the University of Delaware, because they're the one that gave it to her. And as Tammy mentioned, a doctorate isn't necessarily like a measure of intelligence, but it is a measure of accomplishment. You had to do something to get that far, right? But just it is like mind-boggling to me that it's like, okay, it's one thing to have this opinion, it's one thing to say, you know, doctor, doesn't she just have a doctor of education? Like, should she really be called a doctor? Do a quick Google search, you find out that the word doctor actually, mm-hmm. before it started referring to a medical doctor, was something that you would apply to a teacher. So historically speaking, there's not like a basis for you to be upset about it. But just like going from, it bothers me that she calls herself doctor, to let me write a Wall Street Journal op-ed about it and like implore the future First Lady of the United States to like not like be proud or talk about or like claim this accomplishment of hers, because it hurts my fragile male ego because she doesn't know how to do medicine.
Yeah, it does. Fragile is the word that I got, that I felt a lot while not reading it, because again, that darn paywall. But you know, just like getting the, 'cause different outlets, you know, they kind of publish different parts of it. So when you get them all together, you kind of get a good idea of the article. And it's just like, it just sounds like this angry little man who's just so angry. Like, why are you so angry at this person that I don't know if you ever met, if you're friends, maybe there's a breakup at some point between you two, because it sounds
what did you do,
Dr. Jill Biden? You pissed this man off. He's hurting. Right. What'd you do?
And then the editor defends him, and then there's this whole other thing happening on the right where, like, people are going off on Twitter about how her dissertation is bad and it's stupid, and apparently Tucker Carlson brought it up during his show and pointed out some typos in it and implied that she's either illiterate or, like, dumb, and then said something that it made no sense. It was, like, pig Latin or dog barking, and then there's advertisers that are maybe like, hey, why, you don't need, you called the first lady borderline illiterate. What's up? Maybe I don't want my products to be seen right after you make that assertion.
And why would you want to say pig Latin and dogs barking? Like, what, who in the dog whistle are you trying to entice with this type of nonsense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about, and we talked about this a little bit before, but, like, you know, she is not, I think the reason that it gets to the level for the people who are upset about it, that it needs to be spoken about because she becomes the first lady. And once you're the first lady, there is, you know, a culture of sexism in America. She'll be the first lady to keep her day job. But that she, you know, once you're the first lady, you're now sort of viewed and critiqued as being, like, America's mom. And so it's not what are your personal accomplishments, it's like, how are you a good wife, are you a good mom, can you keep the White House clean, how did you decorate for Christmas, like, that is what you're measured against. And so you can, like, that I can see how, like, her being a doctor, her, like, you know, academic accomplishments and, you know, being a community college professor would be, like, a hindrance to that, and is a way that, you know, I don't know, that I can see how it gets picked up on the right in terms of, like, worrying about destroying America's family values or whatever.
Oh, goodness. It just sounds like it's fueled by a fear of the unknown, sure, but, like, I don't know, it's below the belt. That's what it seems like. It seems very much below the belt. And I know this is kind of the world we're living in these days, but I don't know, I guess silly little me thought that after the election, after the 5 months of elections that we had, we just finished, I guess, Biden being announced president for, like, the eighth time now, I just thought we would, like, chill it on the super divisive things. And again, I understand that it's an opinion piece, and that's, you know, and I don't think there was anything in the realm of, like, you know, if the editor thought that they should have published it, like, that just some people make mistakes, you know, and if this was a mistake or this happened and it went out there and it got published and now the editor is supporting him and kind of standing behind him, like, I get that. I really do. I just don't understand, more for the editor. Like, I don't understand, why did you think this would be a good job? I don't understand. Like, and his big thing is that the Wall Street Journal will continue to provide provocative information and that the First Lady is not off limits. And I understand that. But do we really need this right now? Like, I don't know. I just feel like we're all kind of on the edge, and it's quite slippery, and, like, if I go down, like, my neighbor is going down with me, you know? So, like, let's step back, take a breather, and, like, not push each other off the edge, you know? But this is the type of stuff that, you know, it's going to get a lot of people riled up, because, like, it's very, the language in it is, it's pretty, it's, kiddo, like, who are you? Who are you to call, like, it's, You know, people have disrespected you. People have assumed things about you. People, you know, it's, and it's like a, it's like, it's a wound in American society that we're just kind of like in the last few years are starting to address it and trying to raise up women and Black folks and trans folks. And like, why are we, like, how is this helping? And again, like you said, it's quite an ongoing question, whether it's the RNC, the DNC, or this type of stuff. Who is this for?
Mm-hmm.
It's not cool. It's not nice. And there is a short, it's about a minute and a half, YouTube video from The Choice with assistant professor of poli-sci in Fordham, Dr. Christina Greer, and Zerlina Maxwell. And they're doing a very short interview. I just have a little clip. Sonia, whenever you're ready.
As a person with a professional title, I feel like you might run into this kind of thing every now and again. What do you do when people are like, oh, are you a real doctor? You're like, mm-hmm. I studied for 6 years and defended it. But, I mean, what's your normal response? Yeah. Are you...
I would
get defensive.
You know, I try and process because, of course, you get like, oh, you're too young. Okay. I right before I came on the show, I was responding to a student who called me Miss Greer. I get lots of emails addressed to my colleagues and myself. All of my colleagues, my male colleagues, are Dr. So-and-so, and I am Miss Greer. Mm-hmm. So I nicely remind them that I am not only, there are two options, which they have, either Dr. or Professor Greer. Miss Greer is my mother, and she is fabulous and lovely. That is not who we're talking to. And I also suggest they look at my signature line, which has all of my books mm-hmm. and my podcast. And the fact that I'm the associate chair of the department. But it does happen quite a bit. There are lots of people who do not think that professors should be called doctors, even though we were the original people who were called doctors. My sister is an MD, and we've joked about this in the past. You know, I actually don't use the prefix doctor when I travel on airline travel, just because usually if something goes down in the air, they need someone like my sister who would be able to assist. So in that capacity, right. I'm more than happy right. just to use Miss when I'm traveling. But in a professional setting, I did earn this degree. I did write a dissertation. Mm-hmm. I did turn it into a book. And what I think is really frustrating is that so many of my male colleagues are treated so differently than myself and my other female colleagues.
Ah, there we go. We heard it. Thank you so much, Sonia, for that clip. That was Dr. Christina Greer speaking with Zerlina Maxwell from The Choice. And yeah, I love that point that she brought up about the not using the doctor title when traveling for a very specific reason. And that's exactly the reason that I mean, even in the title of the op-ed, he was saying, "Is there a doctor in the house?" I love that. Any opinions?
I'd like to point out how neither Carl Sagan nor Neil deGrasse Tyson has ever practiced medicine or of any sort, or have any ever delivered a child, yet no one has ever had a problem addressing them as doctor. So what's the difference there?
Another doctor, Martin Luther King, not a practicing doctor of theology. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe they deliver doctor, I don't know, but...
I'd never heard of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. ever delivering a child or practicing medicine in any capacity.
So there we go. It hurts them that she has this title. And keeping the day job, how dare you, working mothers, what, that's crazy. It's like, really, we're in 2020, we are past working mothers, we're past this whole thing that you're talking about, and it pains me that these, like, why is anyone taking what this person has to say, like, seriously enough to put in the Wall Street Journal, you know, like, there's so much talent out there that isn't spewing just nonsense. And they're being skipped over just because, I don't know. I'm not an editor, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yes, but don't we know?
Yeah.
Don't
if
we
it
know
leads,
though?
It leads?
No, it means right. it's about putting women in our place.
Mm-hmm.
It's about saying no, you don't get to do this.
Right,
men do, but not you.
Reaction. Yeah, a reasonable reaction would be like, hey. she's not a medical doctor. Why does she get to be called doctor? Oh, she has a doctorate. Okay. I guess that makes sense. Got it. Okay.
Like, that's where it starts and ends. Yeah. But no, yeah, you, that's forbid.
You realize that you have a misconception about how the word doctor is used. And it turns out it means more stuff than somehow you being an aunt. Yeah, like that you didn't know that. So that's great. But why does it then get to the level of, you know, published in the Wall Street Journal and, you know, something that the editor won't apologize for and saying that sexism is a minor issue and it's not going to be, it won't be something that they apologize for. You know, I mean, I'm being somewhat facetious here. I understand how they got there, but rational thinking doesn't factor in, I guess, is my point.
It worries me. It's like, is this kind of going to be the future of, you know, of the type of reporting that's going to be happening? Because it's not even reporting, you know, and like these type of op-eds, there's just so many good op-eds and they don't get as much attention because they aren't divisive. And mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to say it right now on the show. I'm going to make a point of finding these type of op-eds and bringing them on air and sharing them with the listeners you know, again, we highlight all of this horrible stuff that happens, and we almost become desensitized to the good stuff that happens. You know, or I don't know. That's, I can only speak for myself.
No, I mean, I think there's like data out there to back that up. Like that if, I don't know where it's from exactly, but like that if 10 things happen to you in a day and 9 of them are good and 1 of them's bad, the 1 of them that's bad is the one that you talk about.
Mm. Well, you know, that's what I'm going to do for the upcoming year, since we are finishing off this year.
Yeah.
I'd like, before we go on to our second part, I'd like to, any other final comments or just words of advice or anything? Because, you know, if there's anyone out there who's listening right now, who's like, if in school right now, you know, student, and you're like, man, I don't even need to do this because no one's going to take me seriously, or I'm, you know, if you're in any type of minority group, that it just seems no matter how hard we try, you know, someone is always going to find something wrong. I am telling you, you do it and you be great, and greener pastures are awaiting you. And this type of stuff is going to keep happening, but seeing the support, that's really what warmed my heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. As our current First Lady Melania Trump would say, be best. That's a joke. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to undercut it. I just wanted to mention that. Can I say one thing?
Please.
Well, yeah. I know that, like, Jill Biden being the First Lady means a lot to, like, the teaching community. And that is I believe it's the first time that there's like been a teacher in the White House, and I think especially someone who teaches at the community college level, like that's really remarkable. And like that's a level of understanding of the way that those systems work to be brought to the White House in Dr. Jill Biden, future First Lady. I know that like means a lot to people, to have, you know, that as someone who like understands what it is that the wonderful underpaid teachers of the U.S. are going through right now.
Oh, right, the pandemic and everything too.
Yeah, there's like become
background chaos.
Yeah, that teachers are taking on even more than they were previously, not just adapting to online learning, but also becoming, you know, a grief counselor for kids. That kind of stuff, trying to direct people to services, making sure that, you know, they're staying safe. It's gotten to be an even bigger responsibility.
Oh yeah. And yes, shout out to all the teachers, professors, I don't know if it's iron or just so silly that Epstein himself was also a professor. So like, why would you diminish a profession that you're a profession, like it's your profession as well. Oh, my goodness.
You're one of them. Why are you?
Because it's not about diminishing the profession. Yeah. It's about putting a woman in her place.
Right.
And a listener has something to share. Are we taking calls for this segment?
I'll see how you decide.
Yeah, we'll take a call and then we'll go to a break. How about that?
All right. Sounds Joy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, thanks a lot for taking my call. I just wanted to say that what you were talking about earlier about diminishing people and putting women in their place. I used to teach community college classes, and I had a student that taught me something one time, and he actually got it from his grandmother. He said, no matter what you do, somebody's going to hate you. So you're right that people have to be able to go forward and do what they believe in and what is useful and helpful. The other thing I wanted to say is, if you think about not only Dr. Biden's degree and even academics in other fields, whatever they've devoted their life to, in a certain way, they're doctors of our society, and they're treating the ills of our society. And Dr. Biden's got her work cut out for her because, as exemplified by this Epstein dude, he is very ill with a lack of education. And so she's devoted her life to it, and she's got her work cut out for her to continue to be able to educate fools like him who don't have a wide enough perspective on the world. She and other people who devote their lives to education, you know, they're treating an ill in our society. And we've made great strides, but we have a long way to go, and it's a constant work in progress, just like doctors in the medical profession. So I had to say that. You guys are doing a really good job this morning. Anyway, I'll get off.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
What I heard there, if I understood Joy correctly, I think she's saying that ignorance is a malady, is a social malady, and that educators are the physicians treating it. Joy, I hope I got that right. And even if that's not what you meant, that's what I heard, and I think it's great. And whatever you did mean, I'm sure that's also great, too.
I love all the positivity. It's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just if whatever you do, they're going to hate you. So as they say, do you, boo. That's all there is to it. We're going to go to a short musical break, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland.
Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout.
Yes, a little Shania Twain here in the morning hours.
Were it not for my distaste for her catalog in general, that would definitely be on my playlist.
It's just one of those.
Uh-oh.
I hope that I hope Joe Biden is, Dr. Joe Biden, listening to this, and he's like, heck yeah. I'm gonna go, gonna go at it, gonna go, well, I guess stay inside, but, you know, just get, just do what you want, because you can do that, because you're human.
You know, we got a, I just got off the phone with our fan, who pointed out that community college is, like, the way that people whose high school education may have been subpar or either in general or didn't quite prepare them for the university track they wish to follow, you know, provides what they need to get up to speed to be able to, like, matriculate into a four-year university to pursue that 4 year or beyond, that 4 year degree or beyond, and that it is an important resource for, as she put it, bridging the gap.
Oh, there we
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
I want to piggyback on that. It's, when I went to community college, most of my peers were people that were adults that, you know, just they want to become managers or something, or they want to open a business or a food truck or whatever. So they go to school, get these, get like these classes that, you know, do these classes and just, if, you know, just move their life. You know, what am I trying to say? They go on and they do greater things, and they just needed that little bit of help that, you know, that academic education that, I mean, I can't afford going, you know, right now going to 4 year college, let alone even just doing a class or two. So it's also, that's, my mom went to the university, to the community college and the public library to do English conversation classes, a lot of immigrant services, GED. I mean, yeah, I love being at a community college, and there were some teachers that were great, you know, professors that were amazing, life-changing, and some not so much, you know. So we will see what Dr. Jill Biden does, because like you said, Althea, I think there are a lot of people counting on her and her background and experience to be able to better, you know, life for us, you know, here in America as far as education, because education is so powerful and important. And maybe eventually take Joseph Epstein to school, give him a little education. but yeah, thank you. Thank you all for all these amazing comments. We are going to be going to our part two of the program for the remaining time that we're on. We do have one more caller for the segment beforehand, and we will take it just because I would hate to lose out on some more awesome comments. Marilyn, how are you?
Oh, great. How are you doing?
We are well. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Yes, I want to say that the light, that the darkness hates the light, and that there is a darker side to this attack on the Bidens than we might have forgotten about, which is they're trying to put their Hunter Biden in prison, and so she cannot be seen as a person of accomplishment, or she has to be villainized. And that was my comment.
Thank you for that. Yeah, there's we haven't mentioned there is a ongoing investigation with Hunter Biden, who is Joe Biden's son, and I didn't even think of that. That's an interesting perspective. I'll see you any comments
piece by
on
piece.
That?
Oh, just piece by piece, you know. Coming after everybody. I suppose that's the hazards of having adult children when you're in the White House. You know, nobody was coming after Sasha and Malia like that.
I don't know. Did you see Malia's TikTok? Her TikTok videos are all over Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
She's a city girl.
She's an adult woman having fun on TikTok. Why is that so bad? But
she's an adult city girl having fun on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. An adult city girl, I love that.
Speaking of city girls,
continue, hit it.
We are going to part two of the program here today, and this was all Althea's master plan or idea. Master idea, is that a word? I don't know what I'm saying. And you wanted to get listeners to talk about what they learned this year, but go ahead, I'll throw it back to you.
Well, yeah, I'm curious about, you know, this is the time of year when, you know, all of your people who do content and talk about stuff are going to try to give you like an end of year list. And, you know, listeners, if you have something that you learned this year, a fun fact, something that you accomplished this year, we'd love to hear about it. You can give us a call at 503-231-8187. I'll start. Something I learned this year. You know, obviously it's been a year of, you know, personal strain, personal growth. But I've learned, I talk about TikTok on the show a lot, but I learned this thing from TikTok that apparently squirrels can survive their terminal velocity, which is like a wild statement and feels abstract, but like, what does that basically mean? A squirrel can fall from basically any height and it won't die on impact. Like, it doesn't kill them. And if you were going to drop a squirrel and have it die, it would have to be falling long enough for it to starve, which is wild. That's the height that you would have to, like, and here's the thing, it soothes me somewhat when I see a squirrel in sort of a precarious position on a tree and I'm like, are you good, dude? You got that handled? They do got it handled.
We've all been there.
Their terminal velocity. Yeah.
We've all watched, like, the squirrel, like, I hope they don't. I don't know.
Like, I don't know that I've never been handle in my day. I've never been a squirrel fall out of a tree.
I've never been concerned for a squirrel like at height. I figure they're nimble. That's what they do. That's what they're for.
Animal trip.
Yeah, you know, and what freaks me out for squirrels is when they dart out into the road, and then kind of skitter, like kind of back and forth, like they're not sure if they're going to try to get all the way across, like in front of like a vehicle, or go back and like wait for the vehicle to pass or something. And it's like, I've seen a squirrel like that do that, like right in front of me. I mean, I'm on a bicycle, but still. And then I didn't quite see where it went, and something thumped suspiciously under me.
Oh no, Antonia.
And I don't know.
It was a rock. It's fine. We're hanging out right now with the squirrel. Squirrel's telling me, tell her to chill. I'm fine.
The squirrel's actually on the line with us. How are you feeling?
Sonia, would you like to share something that you learned this year, or that any accomplishments?
Well, I guess. Not on the air.
Oh, okay, nice. Nice.
Speaking of, calls are coming, so I'm going to tend to that. Y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Thank you. For myself, I learned how to do resin art, learned through trial and error a lot of things about resin. Like, it doesn't wash off of anything ever. It's for life. If you mess with it in a very hot environment, like a hot garage, it will become very hot and solidify within seconds of mixing the hardener and the epoxy. Do it in a well ventilated area. So those are the things that I learned this year, and accomplishments, because I made stuff with it. And I think, Sonia, whenever you're ready, you can start having people on the line with us, give us their accomplishments and what they learned this year.
Okay, hold on.
No problem. Thank you.
The resin art is
how
so
to dry
cool.
flowers.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of flower drying. You know, because I went on a lot of walks. You see the flowers, you see new things in your neighborhood, being more focused on where you live.
Yes, I learned pretty much like all of the greenway paths in North and Northeast Portland, so I'm pretty happy about that too.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have some people on the line right now. Think James, are you there with us?
Yeah, I am. Good morning.
Hey.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, I've picked up a few good skills this year. I guess one of them really isn't a skill so much as just more of a discipline, but I've definitely got a lot more reading done. You know, I was really busy before the pandemic between work and playing shows and stuff, so it's really allowed me to slow down and get back to some stuff that I really miss doing, like reading. I really just love that. I improved my Spanish quite a bit because I've never been fluent in it, but I've had time this year to really work on it, so I've been pretty proud of that. Still being a new father, it's given me a greater appreciation for family. I think the one thing that this pandemic has at least taught me is that there's a lot of people in the world whose relationships definitely, you know, we were talking about it one time where it's like, you know, there's people who just, they're together. They were probably together out of convenience and they didn't have to see each other as much. And so this pandemic has forced people to stay home. And it's like, if you guys are really working on your relationship like you should be, and, you know, if you're really together with that person, it really shows, because, you know, like me and my girl, we've been spending, like, you know, I haven't gigged or anything in months, so almost a year now. And it's like, so we've had a lot of time to spend together. So it's been really strengthening for our relationship, as well as like having a lot of bonding time with my daughter. So that's been a blessing.
That's lovely, James. Appreciate you sharing that. That's beautiful. Hope that you take that into the new year and spread those good vibes onwards. Thank you. I think we have another caller. Adele, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm getting better.
Yeah, that's got to hear.
I'm calling because I was scammed on the last, like November 28th. Got a call from Comcast, and anyway, they got into my checking and my computer and, you know, whatever else, and it's been a nightmare since, because I had to close down my checking account and my credit card to the credit union, and my computer I got back a few days ago and then had to take it back because they found something on the backup system. Anyway, I just wanted to alert people that this is a very clever scam. I have caller ID and it came on my Comcast, who is my, I consider them a utility because it's my phone and my TV, and it came up on my caller ID and I answered it, and there was this recording that you get with a lot of different companies. If you talk to, they say, when you finish talking to the tech, would you do a survey? And I said no, and then this tech got on the line, and then he said, we notice that your modem isn't functioning like it should, and it's not your fault, it's our fault. And I'm sure I did something so he could get on my computer, because I was on the computer anyway, and these graphs came up, and he showed me which graphs showed that my modem wasn't working, and because it was their fault and making a lot of problems for me, they were going to send me a rebate of $249, which sounds pretty good to somebody on fixed income. So I said, okay, and I gave him fortunately, I just gave him my checking membership number. I didn't give him all the other numbers. And they had me fill out a page that came up, and when I put in the amount and hit submit, it came up to $2,249, and I said, I didn't do that. Can you go back to the page and correct it? And he said, no, he had to get a supervisor who came on the line, and he said that couldn't be corrected. And I said, well, since my checking account's open, I can just transfer the money back to Comcast because I pay Comcast. And he said, no, don't do that. And I realized later the reason was because they had already transferred $2,000 from my line of credit in my checking account to the checking account. And he said, you have to pay it right now, which I told him I couldn't do it. And then the clinker was he told me to go to Best Buy and get four gift cards, $500 each. And
oh, my
I said,
goodness.
I'm not doing that, because I knew that heard of that scam. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I want to ask you real quick. Did you... first of all, that's horrible. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And I hope that it all gets figured out and that, you know, you walk away from it unscathed. But did this experience teach you anything about whether, you know, what did it teach you, if it did teach you anything?
Not to click on anything I don't recognize and not to answer any phone call that I don't recognize, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not out of the woods, and of course it costs a few hundred dollars to get my computer fixed, which isn't fixed yet. But the thing is, I know because I get these calls all the time, Social Security, Medicare, and IRS never call you. And it didn't dawn on me that Comcast, although when I look back at it, if I've ever had to call, have a talk with them, I have called them. And then I also called the Attorney General's office in Oregon, and they said that these scams have been going on for a while, different utility companies. And and then they said utility companies never call you. And apparently there's the ones like Comcast have been focusing in Arizona, Texas, and Florida, where there are a lot of retired senior citizens, and I guess they've been pretty successful, and they were almost successful with me, but it's been a major headache because some of the places that I needed to contact, I had to go to in person, and and then when you try to give different companies the new billing information, you get this automated thing that tells you to go to your computer, which you can't do, and it's just you want to scream at the phone and finally get to a drop down menu where you can speak to somebody. But it's, yeah. And I've also heard a new scam coming up that the credit union told me that one of their clients who was a student called in and asked about it. Fortunately, she was wiser than I am, and they told her because of the pandemic she was going to get a refund on her money she's been sending in for student loans. And then when they wanted her account number, she thought, wait a minute, and, you know, checked with the credit union. So that's the latest one, and another one is PGE.
We appreciate all of this. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, and again, I'm so sorry that you had to deal with it. You know, as I say, hindsight is 2020. So I thank you so much for, you know, giving listeners a couple of tips here and there. But I think that is all that we can take for right now, because we have about a couple moments left.
TMI, but yeah, I just don't want anybody else to go through what I did.
Of course.
Appreciate you so much.
I think that was Adele, I believe, and thank you so much
Adele,
for that.
Apologies.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that I learned a lot. I learned how to not answer phone calls when they call me, because a bunch of them have been calling me lately. I wonder if it has to do with being online so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's that time of year when scams get upticked. We talked about it a week or two ago. You can always check out our back episode on scams on kbu.fm/thegap. We got to hear from a bunch of listeners at that point about scams and what they've learned. You know, sometimes the learning isn't, you know, information that you seek out. Sometimes it's information that falls in your lap in one way or another. Things you didn't think that you needed to know, but sometimes you do. Sometimes, you know, getting a refresher, especially on that stuff.
She does a great thing about the you know, the IRS and all that. They won't call you, but I never thought about utilities. So I just learned something new right now.
Yeah, that's a good one to file in there for sure.
So we have just about 2 minutes left for the show, or three minutes. I'm not sure, can't tell time anymore. And I did want to let listeners know that we are not going to be on next week on Christmas. Wait, is this the last program of the year? Oh, my goodness. No.
We'll be back on New Year's Day. We'll be back on New Year's Day, but it's Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but next Friday we'll be off.
We will have an episode on the website, or is that not?
Yeah.
Okay.
There'll be an episode on the website if you are missing us a lot next week. You can check it out next Friday, December 25th.
Yes. I guess other than that, we will see you next year. How fun is that? And I guess for the minute and a half that we have left, any kind of like last minute things that anyone would like to mention? Maybe like, I don't know what they call it, like wishes for the new year?
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening to me and Tammy and Sonia this year. It's been the first year that we've had The Gap, and so that's really exciting. And I hope everyone has a good new year and a good holiday if you're celebrating.
Yes.
Appreciate you guys.
I very much appreciate all the fans and the super fans of the show, and also all the listeners here in Portland and across the world. It's been a difficult year, unprecedented times, as Althea loves to say, but we're here, we're gonna, you know, be loud about it and embrace all the community. So, you know, this is for you, for us, for all of us together. And Sonia, thank you so much for literally being there for us to be on the air, because we would not be able to do it without you.
Difficult
so
and uncertain
so much.
Yes,
difficult and uncertain, unprecedented. Thank you all so much.
Playing
my name
hit.
Is Tammy. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland with my better halves. That's two. I'll see you, Billy and Sonia. My better quarters, I guess? I don't know.
Thirds.
Math is hard.
Third.
We're a thruple.
All right. We got to wrap
Thank you
it
all
up.
So much. Big shout out to Dr. Jill Biden.
Shout out Jill Biden. Shout out Community College. Goodbye.
Yay. See ya. Happy
And this is still KBOO Portland. It's 9 a.m. Coming up next is